We want to welcome you to the New Song Podcast, coming to you from beautiful Colorado Springs. We love receiving your prayer requests and comments at newsongcs.com. Thanks for listening as Pastor Stephen Hibden shares an encouraging word of God's love.
When we see the God of the universe, who's got a million other things to do, I know he does, but then all of a sudden he stops to care for me. He stops to care for you. You've probably been there in a situation in your family, in your life, where all of a sudden God is closer to you than you ever felt. And it's often in times that aren't the greatest times. I know I've said it a lot, but I felt like I got saved all over again when my dad went through his sickness. My parents are here today. It's good to have you. When he went through a sickness, there was not a closer time I felt with God than sitting in the hospital room next to him, you know, hoping he doesn't leave us. God does that. He just comes close. And yes, we may have a million minutes in our life, but I'd speculate there are probably only a handful that constitute really important, defining moments in our life. And I would encourage you today, we're going, we call it Fellowship Sunday, the week after Easter, that, you know, in these times when we learned about what happened in our family's life this week, you realize how much you need to lean into each other and appreciate your moment. So those that want, we invite you, don't put it off. It's not a guilt trip or anything, but don't put it off. If you'd like to come out with us to eat, it's something very comforting about going out to eat together. And you feel free to join us at Rudy's today. I have trouble today. I have trouble having the right words to say. I look at my Bible and it doesn't have the Bible does, but some of these notes, they don't have the words to say what are on my heart today. So just bear with me today. Amen. Amen. Because of this, we must be very careful to live our lives as Jesus would lead us. Last week, we talked about the most important defining moment in history, didn't we? The resurrection of Jesus Christ. And going from there, I want to read something Paul wrote sometime after. I don't know how long it was after the resurrection they wrote this. But Paul had a way, because Paul was Saul at one time, right? And Saul was a really bad guy. But Paul has a way that when he finally found God, that he's able to synthesize, he's able to explain, he's able to help us understand what just happened. What did Jesus do in this life that he lived? And here's one of those moments where he explains a little bit. And I want to read it to you today. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Thank you, Maria. I appreciate it. And it says this in verse 3 through 8. For what? And just I'll come back to it in a little bit, but I just want to read it right now. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. So he's saying, this is important, so listen. That Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12, and after that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers and sisters. At the same time, most of them are still with us. Now they're not. They all died. But at the time, they were still with us, he says, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me, Paul, who used to be Saul. I want to call this message Defining Moments. Do you remember where you were when? Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, we take a moment right now, not to include you in the service, but just to say, we know you're with us. We know you're here. We know that you're listening and that you are speaking to our hearts. And you have set up this whole thing of church. And maybe it wasn't supposed to be on Sunday morning. Maybe it was supposed to be another day. I don't know. But you set this up so that we could be encouraged. And we come into your house today to be encouraged, to be strengthened, to be edified, to be comforted by your Holy Spirit. Not by a worship band, not by a preacher, not by a video, not by anything, but your spirit and your spirit living in us. And your spirit living in us works through us to comfort each other. And sometimes you just comfort us through just a little whisper. As I'm speaking today, I pray that you would whisper to us. Each person, it may be a different whisper to every person, but somehow you just have a way of doing that. I pray that you would speak through me and in spite of me. In Jesus' name, amen. It was just 5 days ago when we said goodbye to Rhonda Timbrook. She went home to a place that is so much more home than this place. And our church, we say, welcome home. And what we mean when we say welcome home is, yes, I hope you feel at home. I hope you feel comfortable with us. But so much more than that, when we say welcome home, we're talking about Jesus. Because when you are welcomed into Jesus' family, that's your real home. That's where you really find home. And that's where Rhonda went. We would like to call this place home, but it is so many, there are so many reasons why it's not home. Isn't there so many reasons why what Paul said, that we are not of this world, that we are strangers here, that we are even feel like aliens here, makes so much more sense in times like this, because this world is it's crappy. It's horrible. At times, God, yes, God is with us. Yes, God's presence is here. But man, this is not our home. We will eventually leave this place. And our goal is not to, let's get out of here as fast as we can and get away from all these sinners. That's not our goal. Our goal is let's take as many of them with us as we can, because we don't want them to go to the other home, because there's two homes and it's maybe not a place that feels very home, but they will be there forever, and that's called hell, and we will be in heaven forever, and we need to get as many there as possible. For some reason, God has chosen not to bring us home yet. He says, probably, get busy, hurry up, so that I can take you all home. So take that right now. Would you all say yes? I take that, God. I will get busy. I am way too lazy, complacent. It's embarrassing, truly, how little the church, us, reach the non-church. And we're going to talk about that a little next week with defining moments. But, man. Yes. Anyways, we were in a room. It was about 7 days ago. We were wondering when she'll wake up, because we were praying that Rhonda would be with us. And they removed the life support, and if we could see into the spiritual realm, we would see that Rhonda was more home than us. But it's hard for us to see that. And it was a very sad moment, and I'm talking about it because it's a defining moment for me and maybe some of you. It was a sad moment, but in a weird way, and maybe not weird, just a godly way, it was a heavenly moment, because she was breathing her last breaths on this earth. And we felt like we were with God in some ways. We were reading scripture together. We were praying. We were singing songs. And it felt like, it felt comforting and warm, at the same time very sad. And a precious time. But needless to say, it was a moment that held substantially more weight in my life than other moments have had. And you probably have those moments. You might recall a moment in your family like that, or another moment that may not be a happy one, but where you sense God just more. You just sensed him more than he normally is around. And I want to ask you, do you remember where you were when? You can fill in the blank for that, but maybe you hear people say, I remember where I was when the Twin Towers fell. Do you remember where you were when that happened? Most of us know exactly what we were doing when we saw it on the television. Do you remember where you were when that happened? If you don't, you definitely know since then a stark contrast in the way things are different. You go into any airport and you'll see it's nothing like it was before September 11th happened. Do you remember where you were when, some of you weren't alive for this, but when Columbine happened? I remember where I was when that happened. I was so far away from here, but it was so close in another way because it was something that we hadn't really seen something like that happen before. Do you remember where you were just last year when Las Vegas, when they had the shootings? You know, I know where you were, huh? Do you remember where you were when, you know, there was a big earthquake in California? It was my first earthquake I've ever experienced. I was in college. I was my freshman year. I was at my wife's house. That's kind of weird, but we weren't married yet. I was staying there. I was in a different room. Don't worry, your parents are Christians. They wouldn't have let us. But in the middle of the night, I remember looking at the window, and the window looked like it was rolling. And that's what they say you experience. And I said, "Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus!" That's exactly what I said. I didn't say a cuss word, and I said about how loud I said it, because I thought my life was over, and I wasn't ashamed. I wasn't embarrassed. Oh, what if someone hears me? I wasn't thinking if anyone else was alive in the room. Oh, what are they going to think? If I just said Jesus, and her dad is there, and he might think I'm weird. I was, "Oh, Jesus! Oh, Jesus!" And I ran into the kitchen, and I got under a table, and I just, "Oh, Jesus!" Because I thought it was over. I thought the world was over. I remember where I was when that happened. I didn't die that day, but it was a scary time. Did you pray, "Jesus"? Did you say, "Oh, Jesus," when that happened? You didn't? Yeah, figures. I did. Pastor Stephen did. No, she probably had experienced many of these earthquakes before. But what I want to get at today is that through all of these events, some very personal, God is still in the same place. Are you listening today? On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground. In moments like this in your life, when things happen, you'll just name the events that have happened this year. In all of those moments, Jesus is still in the same place. All other ground is sand compared to standing on the rock that doesn't change. Yes, moments in history may change us, but one defining moment became the basis for all others. And what I mean by this is Jesus never changes, but it was because of one moment when he rose from the dead that we celebrated last week, and now we're at post-Easter. Because of that moment, every other defining moment has a hope. And I want to explain it to you from that verse, very simply, what it meant in the original Greek when Paul said, would you put it back up there, 1 Corinthians 15, it says this: "For what I received, I pass on to you as first importance, that Christ died," everybody say died, sorry, I'm slowing down now, everybody say died, "Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures," go on, "that he was buried," everybody say buried, "and that he was raised on the third day." That's what I want to talk about just for a minute before we close today, is that word "raised." If you were to look at the original Greek, the way it was said, when it says "died," that was past tense. When it says "buried," it was written in the past tense. When it says "raised on the third day," that, weirdly enough, was written in the perfect tense. Which kind of, it's been a long time since I had English, but what it means is present and next is present again, and ongoing present. It is perfect tense. So the way it should really read, if you were to look at the exact translation, it would say that he was buried, that he was rising on the third day. And then we go around, because we're not the brightest people. You know, Jesus rises every third day. That's what he does. He didn't just rise that day, but every third day he will rise. And the truth is, that sounds funny, but that's more theologically correct than just say he raised. Because the truth is, what Jesus did in that moment, that defining moment, is the basis for the rest of our lives. Listen, because Jesus continues to rise in your life every day, all day, and, amen, By the way, Jesus is best, are you listening? Best at rising in our worst moments. That's what Jesus is best at. He loves to rise when we need him the most. He is still rising. He is still appearing as he appeared to the disciples and still showing himself today. Not just on Easter, one-time event. Are you listening? But the reason Christ followers celebrate that day so much is because it is the springboard to show us that he continues to be alive in our lives every day. His presence is always with us. And in those moments that hold so much weight, his mercy is there, his grace is there, his presence is there, his peace is there, his hope is there for us. Amen? Let me declare to someone today, he's rising. You know, the Bible says, because of the preaching of the word, faith arises. It says, and you hear, you can't have faith unless you hear, and you can't hear unless someone preaches to you. And let me preach to you today, rise in your faith, that Jesus is rising. Post-Easter, after Easter, 7 days to be exact, he is still rising. And next month, he continues to rise. There will not be a moment. If you ask Jesus to be a part of your life, the great hope of Jesus is, yes, heaven. But while we're on this earth, he is going to continue to rise for you every day when you don't feel it. When you feel like, oh, man, I can't believe this divorce happened. I can't believe I lost this job. I can't believe I can't find my kids. They seem to not come home. I don't know where they are. Jesus continues to rise. And here's some more good news. Would you like to hear just a little bit more good news today? Here's some more good news. Jesus, yes, he did die. Things do die. Death does happen. And I guess a blanket statement would be to say, Jesus never allows death. He does allow certain things that don't need to be here anymore to just die off of us. But Jesus is not in that business. Jesus is in the birthing business. Jesus is always, are you listening? Even though it doesn't make sense in your mind, he's always birthing something. He's always birthing. Yes, this is the hope. Yes, there's times when we would like not to hear this and we'd like not to say it, but my job is to preach to you and give you hope, and it is the truth. Even through birth, sometimes there are pains and there are tough times that come through the birth. But when the birth comes, it is a good thing, and God is always about birthing. Regardless of this temporary world, if you look at 1 Corinthians 15, if you read on, it says, you know, the things of this world are temporary, but one thing is eternal, and we will get there one day, right? There are a lot of temporary things in this world, but regardless of those, God is always birthing new in our lives every day. It's true that sometimes we don't see it, we don't perceive it, we don't recognize it, but God is always birthing in our lives. Just as he birthed or appeared to the disciples in verse 5 of that. Look at that again. Verse 5 says, and then he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. And it goes on that he appeared to more than 500 and sisters at the same time. Most of him whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James. Then to all the apostles, he is still rising, he is still appearing, he is still showing himself. And last of all, he showed himself to me abnormally born. I don't know if you feel abnormally born today. Maybe you were abnormally born. I know John was, or he seems to be. No, I'm just kidding. He had a big smile on his face. But, you know, some of us feel less than, we feel like we don't measure up. Now, there's Billy Graham, there's the Pope, and here's me way down here. I just don't seem to measure up. You should see what I deal with every day. You should see my addictions, my hang-ups. You should see what goes on. And Saul is one of the worst. And he says, even me who was abnormally born, he appeared to me. It was on a road and knocked him off his horse. You know that story? He appeared. He appears to us out of place, out of touch. We feel sometimes out of relationship. Let me tell you, at New Song and in many other churches in our country, many believe that no matter where you are at in your life, Jesus can still appear to you. Jesus can still rise in your life. And I'm going to ask someone to play on the keys. Would you like to play on the keys? I didn't ask you ahead of time, but you're here. Would you give Nate a break, give Laura a break? But I want to close with just a quick thing, and that is, when Jesus appears in your life, three things will be birthed. Number one, you know the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So. I remember we sang it at our sister's going away party. We sang it there, and you know, that song is popular and good because it reminds us that Jesus loves us. And when you realize Jesus loves you, when you realize it, oh, I know that song. I know that already. A lot of people don't know, because what happens, what bursts in you when you know Jesus loves you is worth. You have worth. And that's one thing that bursts when Jesus rises. He will give you worth. He will give you, oh, no one else loves me. Well, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I will walk in confidence. I will walk in courage. I don't care the insults I hear. I don't care the criticisms. I don't care the pain I walk through. Jesus loves me. I have worth. Birth. That's what is birth. Worth is birth. And number two, security is birth. Because in our weakness, Chappie said it so wonderfully. I guess Paul said it. It was a Paul. Paul's the theme today. Paul said, in our weakness, we are strongest. Let me tell you, when you let Jesus rise in your life, every day he's rising, every day he's rising. As you let him do that in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will find security. You don't have to be strong. You can be weak. And in your weakness, that's why I do so good. I don't know if some of you don't think I'm that good, then maybe I'm stronger than I think. But often, the reason I do so good in different things I do is because I'm weak. And I admit it. And I say, God, you got to work through me. And humbly he does. And he shows himself. And he will show himself to all of us. You will have security birth in you when you let him rise. And then the third thing that is birthed when Jesus rises and appears in your life is passion. I like to say it that it's called purpose. There's nothing worse than waking up in the morning after Easter or after whatever has happened in your life and thinking, should I get up today? Should I just stay in bed? Now, if you don't have kids, you can stay in bed. You're welcome. Do that sometimes. When you don't feel like getting up, Jesus rises, but just stay in bed. Sometimes it's nice, but there's times you just got to get up. And there's nothing worse than getting up and thinking, what am I going to do? I don't have any passion. I don't have any purpose left. Jesus rises and he bursts purpose in you. I ask you this one post-Easter question, and then we'll be finished today. Because there will be moments, you know the kind, that you know where you were when this happened. Those kind of moments. Moments that hold considerably more weight than other moments. And when those moments come, what will you allow to rise in your life? Because you have a choice. Just as that song said earlier that we sang, let it rain, let it rise, or I gotta rise. We have a choice. Will we let death reign? Will we let depression reign? Will we allow birth to come? Will we allow anger to rule, or will we allow bitterness to rule? Will we allow why to rule, or will we allow birth to rule? God, what do you want to birth in me next? He probably wants to birth worth in your life. He wants to tell you, stop being down on yourself. You're not as bad as you think you are. That is a lie from the enemy. I love you. This I know, for the Bible tells you so. Didn't you learn that in first grade? He wants to bring worth. There are so many that are so insecure, even as adults. Just get over it and realize Jesus has worth for you. Jesus has security for you. In your weakness, he's going to become strong. He's going to be strong to you. He's going to come out. He's going to rise. And then he's going to bring passion where you feel empty. You just feel, this is what you feel like. I just want. No one please see me. I just want to be invisible. I want to sleep. I want to die. Jesus rises because the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and rises us and brings passion. He will birth passion. Would you bow your heads with me? I want to ask, will you allow Jesus to rise? And I'm purposeful. I have not looked at my dear, dear friends, my brothers and sisters. I have not looked at you one moment. I'm not speaking to you per se in this time, because I know you. Sometimes you need time to pass before you can even hear anything else Jesus says to you. I'm speaking to everyone else in the room today, though. And I say, will you allow Jesus to rise and birth in you worth, security, passion, purpose, hope? We allow that. Say, well, I'm not sure where I think I have that. You thank him then. And you say, thank you for what you're birthing in me today. You have called me for such a time as this, to reach the world, to reach my neighbors, to reach my friends, because I already have all those things. Praise God for that, for you. But a lot of us need more of that. Discover again that the God of the universe is not finished with you yet. And he still wants to speak to you. And if you're here today and you're in a moment, you're in a time where you say, I need God to be strong in my weakness. You're in a time where you'd say, I need to know that Jesus loves me, because sometimes I feel like nobody else does. Or maybe you're in a time and you say, I just don't even feel like getting up in the morning because of the passion is gone. The purpose is not there. I don't feel like God's got anything planned for me. Let me tell you, he's got plenty of defining moments for you, and he wants your life to echo into eternity. That is his goal for you. You do not have the option of sitting. You do, but please don't have the option of sitting on the sidelines and not letting your life make an imprint. If you're here today and you just need security, you need some hope, you need some worth, you need some passion, you need some purpose, just raise your hand and say, God, you see my hand? You see my hand? That's me. Pour it on me. Rise in my life, Jesus. Rise in my life, Jesus. Rise in my life, Jesus. And I pray that you would rise in our lives today. There's hands all over this room, and there are hearts that are saying, rise. Would we all just say, let's get in the same boat right now and say, who needs Jesus to rise more than he has? Would that be all of us? Would you just tell him right now, rise in my life. I know that you died. I know that you were buried. And now I ask you to rise and continue to rise and don't stop rising in my life, Jesus. love you. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand? Let's sing a song together. I'm trying to anticipate what this song is. I don't know, but is it? Want to sing Jesus Loves Me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so.
Thanks for listening today. Remember, God wants to do the impossible through you and me. We encourage you to become a deeper part of what we are doing. Visit us at newsongcs.com. And become a giver to the New Song Foundation and an investor in bringing this message of Jesus across the world. God bless you.